Ever run into one of those seemingly small details in a case that suddenly opens up like a whole new area of law? Like, whoa, I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah.
We're going to do that today with a Louisiana property law case, classic, Burgess v. Stouts.
Okay.
Have you ever wondered if, like, an old driveway agreement, you know, the kind your neighbor keeps bringing up, actually holds any water legally, especially like decades later?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this case goes right into that, showing how long-lasting these pre-dial servitudes can be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, what makes Burgess v. Stouts so important? You know, it's a 1932 Louisiana Supreme Court decision.
Right.
And it lays down some like really basic principles about pre-dial servitudes, especially in a civil law system like we have here in Louisiana.
Right,
So
exactly.
think of it, this deep dive as your like crash course
Yeah.
to understanding this concept that you're going to see over and over again in Louisiana property law.
For sure, for sure. And this isn't just some abstract legal argument. The core of Burgess v. Stouts is an argument about something as ordinary as a driveway.
Right.
But the legal reasoning that decided who got to use it and why it matters, it
Exactly.
has some big implications.
Yeah.
So by the end of this, you'll see why it's still so relevant, you know, to your future as lawyers and so on.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into the details.
Sure.
What was it about this case that caused this, legal battle?
All right. So the story starts in New Orleans with a property owner named Mrs. Pizzolatta. She decides to split up her property into three lots. A lot A, lot B, and lot C.
Okay.
This division is kind of the beginning of the case.
So you've got this one piece of land, and now it's three. And then what happened?
So then in 1923, Mrs. Pizzolatta sells lot A to this company called Security Building and Loan.
Okay.
And this is where the key part comes in, so pay close attention here.
Yeah.
And the D's for lot A.
All right.
She clearly gives them a recorded privilege, which is basically a right to use a paved driveway that sits entirely on lot B.
So basically, the owners of Lot A, like right from the start, had it in writing that they could use this driveway, but it was on their neighbor's land.
That's exactly it.
Okay.
All right, so fast forward a bit. 1925,
Okay.
Lot B gets bought by Henry L. Stouts.
Okay.
He's the new owner of the property with the driveway on it.
All right, so new owner, same driveway. What was the problem?
Well, Mr. Stouts decided he wanted to block that driveway.
Oh, okay.
The case doesn't really say exactly why,
Right.
but we know he wanted to stop people from using it.
Right.
And that affected Morris Burgess, who had, by then,
Yeah.
bought Lot A from Security Building and Loan.
Right.
So just imagine, suddenly you can't use something you thought you had a right to.
Right. That's going to cause a problem.
Absolutely.
So I take it Burgess wasn't too happy about that, so he took Stouts to court.
Exactly. Burgess asked for an injunction, basically a court order to stop Stouts from blocking the driveway.
Okay.
And this brings us to the big legal question we're going to look at.
Yeah.
But before we get there, we need to define some important terms in property law.
Right.
Let's talk about dominant estate and servient estate.
Okay.
Can you break those down for us in terms of this case?
Sure. So in this situation, Lot A is what we call the dominant estate.
Okay.
Think of it as the property that benefits from the servitude.
Right.
In this case, the right to use that driveway on Lot B,
Right.
it's the one that gets the advantage because it gets to use someone else's property for a specific reason.
That's a good way to explain it.
Okay.
And then on the other hand, lot B, where the driveway actually is, and the one that lot A is using, is called the servient estate.
Right.
It's the land that has the burden of the servitude. It has to serve the needs of that dominant estate, specifically by letting the owner of lot A use the driveway.
So dominant benefits, servient is burdened.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
So you mentioned that the big question was about what kind of right this was. Could you explain the difference between what a real pre-dial servitude is and a personal right?
Absolutely. And that's a key difference in Louisiana property law.
Right.
The court had to decide if this driveway access was a real pre-dial servitude, meaning a right that's tied to the land itself,
Okay.
and it benefits any owner of that land, or if it was just a personal right,
Right.
which would only benefit the specific person it was given to originally, in this case, Security Building and Loan.
Right.
The first one, the real pre-dial servitude, it runs with the land.
Right.
The other one doesn't. And that makes a huge difference when the property gets sold to someone else.
Right. So if it was just a personal right, Stouts could say that it didn't apply to Burgess because it was only for Security Building and Loan. So
Exactly.
that's a pretty big point of disagreement.
It is. It is. And that leads us to that central question that the Louisiana Supreme Court had to figure out. Did the right of passage, that was given in that 1923 sale of Lot A create a real pre-dial servitude that still applies to the new owners of Lot B, like Stouts. Stouts was probably arguing that any agreement they had before was just personal and didn't transfer over to him when he bought the property.
Yeah, so he was basically saying, like, that deal wasn't with me.
Exactly, exactly.
So how did the Louisiana Supreme Court, how did they approach this problem? What was their main line of reasoning?
Okay, so their analysis had a few key parts to it.
Okay.
First and foremost was what we call the real utility test.
Okay.
So the court decided that the driveway provided a real advantage to Lot A, like it made it more accessible and valuable.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just about being convenient for whoever owned Lot A at the time.
Right.
It was a benefit to the property itself.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of real utility is super important in Louisiana law when it comes to pre-dial servitudes.
Right.
The benefit has to be to the property, not just the person.
So the court basically saw the driveway as making Lot A more useful, regardless of who owned it at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what else did they consider in their decision?
Another crucial aspect was establishing it by title. So they really dug into that original deed from Mrs. Pizzolatta to Security Building and Loan.
Right.
And that document, it explicitly gave the privilege of using the driveway to the purchaser, its successors and assigns.
Right.
That phrase successors and assigns, that's really important because it shows they meant for that right to benefit future owners of Lot A as well.
So that wording seems pretty clear that it wasn't just like a, you know, a one-time favor or personal thing.
Right. You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
But here's a twist.
Okay.
Some later recordings about the servitude, they had slight wording changes. And guess what? They left out that phrase successors and assigns.
Oh, interesting.
So Stouts probably used that to say, those later recordings were more important than the original deed,
uh-huh.
Or at least that they made things unclear.
So it's like a classic legal interpretation battle.
Exactly, exactly.
It's on these documents that might say different things.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Louisiana Supreme Court said, no, that original intention in the first title, that's what really matters when setting up a servitude.
Right.
They were basically saying the initial goal was clearly to create a pre-dial servitude, and these later small changes didn't erase that basic right way.
So the first document had the most weight.
That's right. The original intention, when it's clearly stated, that's what carries the most weight in these property rights cases.
What about those later recordings with the different wording? How did the court deal with that?
Well, that takes us to the idea of constructive notice.
Okay.
The court basically said that even with those little wording differences in the later recordings, the fact that there was any recorded servitude about the driveway at all should have been a red flag for Stouts.
Yeah.
When he was thinking of buying Lot B.
Right.
That there might be something preventing him from doing whatever he wanted with the property.
Right.
This is what we call an inquiry notice.
Right.
It's like the recorded information is a warning sign telling a reasonable buyer to do some more digging.
So even if it wasn't perfectly spelled out in every single document, just the fact that it was recorded somewhere should told Stouts to look into it further.
Exactly. The court even quoted itself, saying that the recorded notice was, and I quote, manifestly dot sufficient to have placed defendant on inquiry and to have enabled him to have ascertained the true facts of the case before purchasing Lot B.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically saying that Stouts had a responsibility to do his due diligence.
Right.
And really examine those public records before buying the property.
Right.
And if the records hinted at a possible problem, even if it wasn't super clear, he couldn't just claim ignorance later.
Right. That's a big takeaway for anyone involved in property transactions. Check those records. And if anything seems off, ask questions.
100%. Yeah. So it's important for you all to understand the civil law distinction here.
Okay.
Louisiana, we operate under a civil law system, you know, coming from Roman law.
Right.
It's different from most other U.S. states which follow common law.
Okay.
And in Louisiana, the idea of a pre-dial servitude, it's not quite the same as the common law idea of easements.
Gotcha.
Pre-dial servitudes are all about how a specific piece of land benefits. They really emphasize that connection between the right and the land itself.
Right.
Which is why that real utility test we talked about earlier is so important.
So the legal system in Louisiana has a specific way of looking at these kinds of property rights that might be different in other places.
That's exactly right. The civil law tradition puts a lot of focus on the benefit to the property as being like a key part of what a pre-dial servitude is.
Okay, so the court looked at the benefit to Lot A, the intention in the original deed, the fact that Stouts should have investigated based on the records, and how servitudes work under Louisiana's civil law.
Right.
Considering all that, what was the Louisiana Supreme Court's final decision?
In the end, they upheld the injunction.
Okay.
Which means Stouts was legally not allowed to block the driveway.
Right.
And Burgess, as the owner of Lot A, could keep using it.
Okay.
The servitude was considered a real predial servitude that ran with the land.
So the good guys won, at least when it comes to using the driveway. What are the bigger lessons from this case for property law in Louisiana?
There are several important implications.
Okay.
First, it shows how important it is to be really precise and thorough when you're writing up property deeds.
Right.
Especially when you're creating servitudes.
Okay.
So including clear language like successors and assigns.
Right.
That explicitly states that the right is meant to benefit future owners too. That can prevent a lot of arguments down the line.
Gotcha.
It's a good reminder that being clear in legal documents is crucial.
Absolutely. It seems like a little extra care in the writing stage can save a lot of headaches and legal fees later on.
No doubt about it. Second, Burgess v. Stouts shows us that even if there are small mistakes or things left out when recording a servitude, it might not automatically make it invalid.
Right.
Especially if the original intention to create it is obvious in the first title.
Right.
And the recorded information gives enough notice to potential buyers.
Right.
But as we talked about relying on ambiguity, that's risky.
Yeah.
The best case scenario is always having clear and consistent documentation.
Right. And I'd say maybe even more importantly, this case really shows how permanent predial servitudes are.
Absolutely.
They're property rights that run with the land.
Right.
Meaning they're binding on anyone who owns the properties later on, both the one that benefits and the one that's burdened.
Yeah.
They're not just temporary agreements between specific people.
Yeah. That's a core concept in property law.
Right.
Predial servitudes, they're meant to be long-term obligations on the land.
Right.
They reflect that long-term benefit they give to the dominant estate.
Okay, so for all the law students out there who are listening, what's the main practical advice you'd give them based on our discussion of Burgess v. Stouts?
The most important thing to remember is that you absolutely have to examine the entire history of ownership for any property you're working with.
Right.
Don't just look at the current deed. You got to go back and look at all the previous owners.
Okay.
And any recorded encumbrances, things that might limit the use of the property.
Gotcha.
Predial servitudes, even ones from decades ago, they can have a huge impact on your client's rights and what they're obligated to do with their property.
Right.
They could be hiding in those old records.
Yeah.
Just waiting to be found.
Right.
And potentially changing how everyone understands the property.
So being a good property lawyer sometimes means being a bit of a history detective, going through all these old documents.
Absolutely. Knowing the history of a property is often essential to understanding the current legal situation surrounding it.
To wrap up our deep dive into Burgess v. Stouts, the main lesson is pretty clear. Real predial servitudes in Louisiana are all about giving a real tangible benefit to a piece of property, not just making things easier for one person.
Right.
And when they're set up the right way, they're meant to last a long time, sticking with the land and affecting all the future owners.
Yeah, that sums it up nicely. The case really shows how real utility, establishing by title, and constructive notice all work together in the context of predial servitudes.
Right.
And it highlights how unique Louisiana's civil law system is.
Yeah. Thinking about how this case from almost 100 years ago is still shaping property rights in Louisiana, it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Are there modern situations involving, I don't know, digital property
right.
or intangible things where these same ideas of real utility and constructive notice might come up in court?
Absolutely.
It's pretty interesting to think about how these old legal concepts might adapt to our world that's becoming more and more digital.
That is a thought-provoking question.
Yeah.
It really shows that even though the world is changing fast, these basic legal ideas are still relevant.
Right, right.
Maybe that's something we can explore in a future deep dive.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Well, that's all the time we have for our deep dive into Burgess v. Stouts.
Yeah.
Join us next time when we...
Yeah.
Okay, take care.
See ya.
Bye.